Hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode of the Comic Source Podcast. I'm your host, Jace. This is a Valiant Sunday episode, and this is an interview I did with writer Tim Seeley at San Diego Comic-Con. We talk about his upcoming Bloodshot run and how he plans on kind of integrating things that Jeff Lemire did. I know we've talked in the podcast on the past about wondering, with the way Jeff's run ended, like, how do you continue? How do you pick up where he left off? How do you move forward with the character? I mean, we all know that Jeff really deconstructed the character, did a lot of interesting things, built him back up, and left him in a place where not all the questions were answered. So, you know, where do you go from there? Does the next writer just have to, you know, follow the kind of the breadcrumbs that Jeff left? Can they do their own thing? And how does that all tie in? So it sounds like Tim has some thoughts and some plans to pick up some of the pieces that Jeff left, but he really wants to make it his own. He wants to get back to kind of the action hero, if you will, of Bloodshot. And it makes a lot of sense. I don't know that Valiant would have brought him on if he didn't have plans to kind of take it in that direction. Because again, we've got the Bloodshot movie coming out in early 2020, and we want that to succeed, and we want people who go and discover the character on the big screen to be able to have a good jumping on place. So it sounds like, from what Tim was saying in the interview, that right as the movie's coming out, the first volume of his run, the trade, will be out. And so that'll be kind of a good place for people to turn, and it'll seem somewhat familiar. It'll seem, action hero, and it'll seem, maybe familiar to them if they enjoyed the movie. We also talked about some of the challenges that Tim has in working in the Valiant universe, and it sounds like he's a big fan, because his biggest challenge, you know what? I don't want to spoil it. I'll let you listen and figure it out. But based on what he said his challenge is and kind of where he's struggling to make sure he stays on the path, it again shows his love of Valiant. So hopefully he's going to be on the character for a good long run. We also talk a bit about his collaboration with Brett Booth. We're both big fans. I've mentioned in the podcast many times, but I mentioned it to Tim that I don't think that there is a better artist working in comics today when it comes to the originality and the kind of the dynamic way that Brett lays out panels on a page. It's something that's very unique to Brett. And he's just exceptional at it. It adds a level of excitement, because it's not in any way standard, but you never really struggle to kind of follow the narrative. And I think it's going to work for Bloodshot really well, just like the way it did for The Flash. That was probably Brett at the top of his game when he was working on The Flash, just because, man, the way those panels laid out on the page, it added such movement and just a dynamic feel, a kinetic feel. And it was exceptional. And so I'm hoping he brings a lot of that to Bloodshot, and I imagine that he will. So here's hoping for a good long run for Tim and Brett on Bloodshot. At least 20 issues, I'm hoping, is what we'll see. But I guess ultimately the sales will be the deciding factor. So anyway, as always, thanks for listening, everybody. Thanks for the support. I hope you enjoy the interview, and we'll talk to you next time. All right, this is Jace from the Comic Source coming to you once again, San Diego Comic-Con, the 50th anniversary show. And I'm welcoming Tim Seeley back to the show. It's great to see you, Tim.
Yeah, man. Thanks for having me on. Like, being pulled from the floor and getting to go somewhere else is such a gift, so thank you.
Yeah, especially when it's nice and quiet and cool and a little respite here. But the reason we're talking to you today is you're going to be writing Bloodshot.
Yeah, and well,
in fact,
I have been writing.
Did the free comic book day. Yep. Issue, and obviously, working on the upcoming series that's coming out. So let's start with this. Do you remember the first time you saw the character, your introduction? What were your initial impressions?
I absolutely do, because it's sort of a notorious day in comics, right? Because Bloodshot 1 comes out the same day as Death of Superman. It was like a big deal. We were young and stupid and thought that book was a big deal at the time, because DC told us and we believed it. But I remember going to the comic shop and waiting in line to get Superman, and then down my way out the door, you see the holographic that covered the Barry Windsor Smith one.
Right.
So, I definitely remember it. It made a huge impression. Because when it comes down to it, that is just a great design. I mean, it's Obviously, you're already sort of intrigued because it's, you know, it's a badass dude with guns, but he's got this big red dot, and he's this, you know, it's such a great design that I remember making an impression right away. And I was a big reader of Valiant stuff when I was in my, like, 13, 14, I was a big Valiant reader. So I was reading Bloodshot and Shadow Man stuff and Harbinger, and then I followed Bloodshot all the way through the crazy part when there was Claim Comics, when he was a big gray dude.
Yeah, he looked like Tombstone, that Spider-Man villain.
Yes. Yeah. And when I distinctly remember a storyline where he grabbed a cat and stuffed it in his chest. So, and his chest ate the cat. So I've been here through all of it.
The good and the bad, as it were.
Yep, and I was reading the stuff by Jeff and Dwayne as well. I was keeping up, like, while working for Marvel and DC. It was hard for me to enjoy all the other comics, but I could enjoy Valiant books because I wasn't working on them, so I was reading the stuff as it was coming out.
So, being such a huge fan of the character and being a creator yourself, you must have, this is kind of a dream project for you then.
Yeah, I mean, it's like a perfect sort of, and then in the meantime, I like got trained up for the character because my first drawing gig was G.I. Joe, really, my first major drawing gig. And then I've worked on The Crow and all this sort of stuff. And so for me, it's like combining the monster stuff and the horror stuff and the military stuff into one thing. So I was ready for it, yeah.
One thing I find interesting is you've said you want to take it back to Bloodshot, back to his action hero roots. And,
yeah.
And I love the stuff that Dwayne did. It felt like those early issues. It was reminded me of the Hulk TV show, like Fugitive out on the run.
Which is kind of the story. He's a monster, right?
Right, yeah. Exactly. And then Jeff really deconstructed the character and it took him places he never had. It was really heady stuff. But you're going in a different direction. You're big popcorn.
But it's not like I hope it's not less emotionally charged, you know, and I hope it's not dumber. I just, Jeff's interest, you know, and he's a guy I know, and we hang out, and I know his interests are sort of in the little moments and the commentary. And I think for me, this character, what's interesting is the big stuff, the crazy stuff, because you can do so much with him. And I felt like, you know, we could sort of strip it back to some really simple beginnings, you know, if you're going to release this comic around the same time as a big movie. So I want to just give people like a really, like, I think what people are asking for is sort of, is, you know, like a comic book that feels like a comic book that's big and it's things we could never do in a movie because they would be too expensive, and that's hard to do now because most things can be done in a movie. If, you know, Avengers Endgame is any indication, but, you know, just make it as big as possible and emotionally charged and have a lot of good character moments, but like really focus on and this, the thing that I think struck me when I first saw him is he looks cool and he does cool stuff, you know.
Yeah, and like you're talking about it, there's no budget in a comic, so you can focus on that aspect of it. Something that gets lost sometimes, I think, about Bloodshot is he's a technological construct.
Yes.
When you think about
it,
right?
Absolutely.
And where we are with technology in the world, we're heading that direction, and it's a fascinating question to me. So how much technology can you subsume into yourself and still be human? Like,
absolutely. And that's definitely always been a subtext of the character, is, you know, after a certain point when you're so connected, like, you know, that's which I think has become the theme of the story, is if you're so much of you is on the line, and so much of you is in your phone, and how much of it is you left over, you know? And so that's definitely a subtext of the story that you can't get away from. And in some ways, it's interesting to do this stuff now, because when he was created, that technology was obviously hypothetical, but now a lot of the technology, I mean, not specifically, you know, regenerating nanites, but parts of those things do exist, you know? And the means that the technology of some of these things for Bloodshot, the way they've been used is not what was originally sort of portrayed in those older Valiant comics. So we have to keep up to date. I have to be reading stuff about, you know, gray goo and all the sort of possibilities and uses of that kind of technology. So, but yeah, it's you know, he's always been sort of relevant, because this is always going to be, you know, humans' interaction with technology is always going to be part of the story. And certainly, like, that's a theme that we're going to, you know, play with, because to some people, Bloodshot would be the most dangerous thing on Earth, right? He can get connected to everything. He could shut down all of our systems. He shut down the power grid. He could launch nuclear missiles. He could do anything. So he, to some, he is the most dangerous man on Earth. And to others, he would be someone who, you know, we would want to research and we want to find out because you could monetize him, right? So that's definitely something we have to play with. We have to talk about how, you know, technology is used and the way these firms, you know, the way technology is often used now is just do it first and then figure out, you know, the consequences.
The ramifications.
Yeah. Because, you know, you're not seeing anybody in Silicon Valley like saying, oh, maybe we shouldn't create another social media platform that drives humans further apart. You know, no one is saying that. They're just trying to monetize the technology.
Yeah, they're asking the question, can we do this, not should we do
this? It's the Malcolm, Jeff Goldblum question from Jurassic Park. I couldn't remember his last name. Malcolm, that guy.
Yeah, 100%. Now, I wanted to ask you about timing. We saw at the end of Jeff's run, Bloodshot out there with Angel and their daughter. Where does your story fit in terms of that?
We kind of jump ahead somewhat, and then we go back and tell the story of the connection between it. My story essentially starts from the end of Harbinger Wars 2, which had Bloodshot basically be used by, my brain is so fried, Livewire. He got turned, his mind, he was basically, you know, turned into a weapon by Livewire, someone who he had trusted and who he considered a friend. And so then he got blown up. And then we kind of pick up later, and the story, well, we're going to just jump in and go with that, and then we're going to come back and tell you how he got there.
So are we going to see, at some point, you want to explore that betrayal by Livewire?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yes. That's a huge part of the initial arc. We don't talk about it much. But it's definitely an important part of the story to me, because that's what I think is kind of interesting about the Valiant characters, is that each of them, you know, they're superheroes, basically. But they all have a different end game in mind. And though they'll work together, there's part of them that would say, well, I disagree with how you're doing that. So at any given time, you know, it's like if, Exo isn't trying to take over the world and make it better for what he thinks it should be, you know, any of the other powerful characters could be in the same situation. So I think that's kind of the interesting thing about these superheroes. They don't have necessarily the same goals, you know, or the means that they would do them. So that's how we're going to play this a little bit. So I wanted to start out, we want to talk about Bloodshot. It's a Bloodshot book. He's a star. I want him to be that. But we're going to come back to his relation to the other Valiant characters, for sure, and his relationship with Exo and Livewire, especially.
Well, I want to talk about your artist on the series also, but real quick first, I got to say, as a huge Bloodshot fan, and a lot of the fans that are listening to this are you know, just die hard, they ride or die with Bloodshot. How have you found becoming part of the Valiant family? Have you experienced some of that hardcore Valiant fandom?
I mean, a little bit, but not as much as I expected, honestly, because I do know that it's a pretty dedicated, thriving fandom. But yeah, relatively little. I mean, people mostly have just been like nice about it, and I've had people like drawing me pictures and stuff like that, which is cool. But yeah, generally, I haven't had like a lot of interaction yet, which is I'm surprised. So you guys got to up your game. You got to talk at me more.
I bet you when the book drops is when it'll take
off. Yeah, probably. And I think too, you know, like the Free Comic Book Day story has come and gone. And I think part of it was like, look, we're just trying to tell like a really easy, you know, to understand and relate, you know, superhero story. So you're not seeing all this stuff just yet. So we'll see how people react once the first and second issue tell you
the
story.
Yeah, and then the other challenge for you, you already mentioned this, you know, they've got the movie coming out.
Yeah.
You know, you mentioned you do want to tie it back in eventually to the stuff that Jeff did. You want to explore the Livewire stuff, but you also still have to make it new reader friendly, right? So that's
exactly
a challenge.
Yeah, and I mean, I've seen this done terribly by other comic companies. When you have like this huge media thing where they're spending, you know, $70 million on your movie or $100 million, and then your comic is completely inaccessible.
Yep.
Which I've seen so many times. I've seen it recently. And we really want to be smart about it. So we set it up so that, you know, the first arc is very accessible. It'll be collected into a trade is then very accessible. But it'll really be like the boiled down essence. That's the plan. Like it has to be it doesn't have to feel like the movie or continue from the movie or use the movie designs, but it has to be the most distilled and perfect version of the comic book character. So that, you know, if you were interested in it, you're going to find this, and then you're not going to be able to put it down, and you're going to keep reading it, and you're going to have a new favorite. So that has to be our goal.
Now, who's your artist on, that you're working with?
Brett Booth. The great Brett Booth.
The great Brett Booth coming over to Valiant. He teased it online for a while, and fans were asking, what are you doing? What are you doing next? I love his art. So
yeah, he's great, man. He's awesome.
I have told Brett before, I don't think when it comes to, and as an artist yourself, you'll appreciate this, I don't think when it comes to panel layouts, like the actual way he lays the panels on the page, there's anyone who does it in a more unique way. Like yeah. He's always playing with panels and the movement and the way you read things on the page. So do you have to change your scripts at all based on the way he does things, or is it a little more back and forth or collaboration? How does it work?
I mean, it's definitely, I do tend to write towards the artist, but when I first started the book, I didn't know who the artist was going to be. So I had written, I think, 1 and 2. And then when they told me it was Brett, I was like, oh. Then I started, I know his stuff. I've been reading his stuff since I was a teenager. So I don't want him to feel old or whatever, but so I know what he does. So then I kind of geared it a little more towards that angle, you know? So, and I, knowing that he was going to design stuff and kind of having a sense of what that would look like, I could kind of gear the descriptions in a way, you know, more towards him. But he's great because he does great action, but he's also a good storyteller. Not all the artists who are great at action are great at subtle stuff or character acting or stuff, but Brett is. So, he's doing some awesome stuff. I think it's the best stuff I've ever seen him do. I feel like it's the character is a perfect match for him. He's great at tech. He's great at action. He's great at character acting. So like it's incredible stuff. And with Andrew Dollhouse on colors and everything, I think it's like it just looks incredible. It also doesn't look, you know, I think some of the earlier Bloodshot books were pretty dark. You know, it's usually like there's, you know, black, gray, white, and red in it. That's about it. And we're like it's big and kind of candy colored and lots of fire. Lots of flashy stuff, you know. It's a really slick story.
Yeah, and when you talk about action and kinetic and sense of movement, like when I heard the announcement, I was just over the moon because, you know, a huge fan of his. Bloodshot's my favorite Valiant character, so to have that marriage, and then like you said, to bring Andrew Dollhouse on, they work together on Flash, at DC, as you know, and same thing, you know, sense of movement, sense of action. So I can't really think, like, if you were to tell me, okay, pick the dream matchup to work with Tim on this book, it would have been Brett.
So. They nailed it, which is so great.
Any challenges that you've had? If you had to say that there's one thing that you maybe struggled with to nail with the character, or knowing him so well, was it pretty easy to get in his head?
I mean, the only thing I think, you know, I feel like I was so interested in playing with the Valiant universe because I like it so much that like one of the challenges is keeping myself from going too much into it. Like I want to get there, but like there's an impulse for me to be like issue 2, Archer and Armstrong show up, then you know, like I like the way that the Valiant universe characters play against each other, and they're almost all different genres, which I think is a kind of cool conceit of the character. So it was like a, you know, that hard for me to reel in my desire to do that. So, but so far, I mean, you know, it's clear that it's it takes place in a larger world, but we are really focusing on the Bloodshot character and this new cast of characters that he's going to be hanging out with, because that was really important to me to set up a you know, a cast and a supporting cast and villains and you know, and I don't have room for all the stuff I would love to do. You know, like. I want to write XO really bad, and I would love to do something with the funny characters because, you know, Quantum of Woody and Archer Armstrong, that's the books I love to read at Valiant. I love those books, so, you know, it's really hard for me not to throw in the funny guys, but they don't fit, so it's not going to work.
All right, so you hear that, everybody. We got to make sure that we not only buy this book and read it ourselves, all you Valiant fans out there, but tell all your friends about it.
Yeah.
So the numbers are up there, and Tim can stay on it for a long time and get a chance to tell all these.
You got to give me the. We got to have this long go long enough that I can get to my. I have an XO Bloodshot scene in my head that I really want to write. I have this whole thing, so we have to get there.
All right, sounds great. Well, thanks so much for your time,
yeah,
Tim.
Thanks, man.
Really excited for the book, and we'll probably have to have you back on maybe when the first trade comes out and talk.
Sounds good.
You know, we don't want to spoil, but after the first trade goes out, everybody has a chance to read it. We'll have you back on. Talk a little more story-specific stuff. So.
Sounds good, man.
Awesome.
You can find the Comic Source Podcast on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Google Play, or whichever podcasting app you prefer. Please tell all your friends about us, subscribe, and rate us. The ratings really help with our visibility and our ability to reach new listeners, especially 5-star reviews on Apple. Also, be sure to visit us at lrmonline.com to join the conversation, access the show notes, and discover all our other great pop culture content. If you want to email us, the email address is thecomicsourceblog@gmail.com, or you can follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/thecomicsource. Do a search for The Comic Source on Facebook and Instagram to follow us on those social platforms. All three spots are great places to find out when we release new episodes, as well as follow all our convention coverage. So once again, we want to thank everyone for listening, and we'll talk to you next time.